Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you call someone who doesn't believe in something that is obviously true? Most generally, we call them a doubting Thomas, right? So I was interested in knowing what Greek word was used for this idea of doubt. In English, we only have one. We use the word doubt, and doubt means we're not totally bought into the idea. You make me a promise, and I may believe you or not, but I'm hesitant on the facts. But in Greek, there's actually three different words that deal with the idea of doubt. The first one is the word dikrino. Dikrino is the word that Jesus used when he said this, Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, Go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, dikrino, in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. In this case, doubt means to hesitate. Have you ever doubted someone? They make a promise and you hesitate to take them at their word because you don't really have anything to cling on to. You see this when you see the ad on television. This new whiz-bang product that's going to be great. And from past experience, you know that it doesn't always measure up to all of its claims. And so you have doubt. And so you hesitate to dial the 1-800 number and give them your credit card. Oh, and by the way, for $19.99, you give you a second one just in case the first one breaks. Dikrino. It means to hesitate. The second word is the word distazo. Distazo is the word that was used when Peter walked on the water. You remember the story? It was dark. Jesus had stayed behind to pray. And the disciples were in the boat. The water was a little bit undulant, if you will. And they see a shadowy image in the distance and they think it's a ghost. And they cry out in fear. And Jesus says, It is I, don't be afraid. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, Come. And Peter steps out of the boat onto the water and walks on the water towards Jesus. And then in English there's this word, but. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. And crying out, he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus could have stepped on his head and said, Peter, I know later on you're going to deny me three times, and so therefore, Bartholomew, you're up. But Jesus reaches out his hand and immediately lifts him up, and they get him in the boat, and he says, Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? Distazo. Why did you take your eyes off of me? Why were you so concerned about everything around you and not focusing upon me? The third word is found in today's gospel lesson that I've kind of imported for this Confirmation Sunday. It's a word that's addressed by St. John, actually recorded by St. John, to the denial of Thomas. In Greek, there's a word for faith. It's called pisto. And if you put an ah in front of it, ah pisto, ah means no, so no faith. And so when Jesus looks at Thomas and says, Why have you no faith at all? It's not like you are hesitating. It isn't like you've taken your eyes off me. You simply do not believe. A lot of flavors when it comes to Greek, isn't there? What kind of doubt fits into your life today? Is there times in your life you kind of hesitate? See, God makes all these big and glorious promises. And a while from now, the confirmands will be sitting in the front row, and I'm going to tell them God has promised that if you confess Him before men, He will confess you before your Father in heaven. And there's times we kind of stand back and we hesitate. Or a loved one gets ill, or we get ill. And God promises that surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And he says, I will never give you more than you can handle. And the list goes on and on and on, but we still hesitate. Because at times, even as the people of God, we are filled with doubts. Or maybe we're a little bit more like Peter. Perhaps our way of life is getting kind of rocky. And we stepped out in faith to trust in Jesus with all of our heart, soul, and strength, just as God's word commands us to do. And everything is going great. We're walking on the water. We're firmly focused upon Him. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, our senses are shaken by whatever the malady of life is. And we look around and we see the wind and the waves. And we take our eyes off of Christ. And we doubt. And just like Peter, you and I, we begin to sink. Sink into despair and depression and loneliness and fear. Or maybe sometimes we're a little bit more like Thomas. We're a little apisto. We're a little no faith at all because of decisions we make or the things that we do. Apisto type of non-faith is dangerous because it shatters the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. But in reality, maybe unbelieving Thomas was right. Unless I see in his hands the marks and nails and place my finger into the marks and nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Show me. Show me. Now, it's been a number of years ago when I was pastor at Pilger, there's a few houses, and many of them are no longer there because of the tornado, but between the parsonage and the post office, and I walked by, and it had formerly been the mortuary of Pilger, by the way, and I walked by the house, there's a guy by the name of Steve, and over time, you know me, I struck up conversations, we began to be kind of friends, and Steve had tattoos up both arms, his nickname was Trouble, he was addicted to meth. And after he had colon cancer, he was put in prison because he broke into a number of abandoned farmsteads to steal antiques. Or not abandoned, vacant. But in the meanwhile, I'd taken Steve through adult confirmation to become a member of St. John Lutheran Church. And I would meet them at their house, both him and his wife at the time. And as I was going through the truths of Scripture, Steve would be at the stove frying up some mushrooms and some scrambled eggs, and we'd be having breakfast together. It was amazing. I miss that. I remember one day we walked out the back door, and he's giving me my so long and my farewells for the day, and beautiful blue sky, and he looked at me and says, Pastor, wouldn't it be so much easier if God just wrote it in the sky, Christ is risen, He is risen indeed, everybody would believe. Now, I'm a young pastor at the time, and I looked at him, I said, Steve, I don't think it works that way. I don't think it works that way. Because Scripture ultimately says that faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by seeing, because our eyes lie to us. The first sin in the garden was the eating of the forbidden fruit, and it was through the eyes that Eve was tempted. In fact, the Scripture says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her. When they took their eyes off of who Christ called them to be and began to focus upon their own needs and their own desires, in the same way, they doubted. See, the truth is, lots of people saw Jesus do miraculous things. See, Jesus didn't perform miracles within inside of a bubble, but many people saw Him changing the water and the wine and the feeding of the mass of people and the raising of Lazarus. You know what? Many of the people that were there on Palm Sunday were coming to see Jesus because they had heard that He'd raised a man named Lazarus from the grave. And they wanted to come and see Him with their own eyes. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the elders, they had all heard about the miracles of Christ, but it didn't make any difference at all. The more they saw, the more they knew of Jesus, the more they hated him, and the more they wanted to put him to death. Thomas didn't believe what he had heard. Remember the disciples before, 8 days earlier, Jesus had been in their midst, his friends, his trusted brothers in the faith. And they had told him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Christ is risen. Thomas looks and said, I'll never believe it unless I see it from my own eyes. Unless I can put my finger in the nail marks and I can shove my, the word in Greek is balo, throw it into his side. Unless I can touch his organs, I will never believe. And Jesus came and spoke to him. Be not apisto, not believing, no faith, but pisto, faith. Stop doubting and simply believe. And Thomas believed. It literally changed everything about him. He went from unbelief to faith. He went from death to life. He went from seeing as believing to hearing and believing who Christ said he was. But what about you? This morning you might be thinking to yourself, but Pastor, I agree with Steve. If God would just light up the sky, it'd make this faith thing a whole lot easier, because then I'm not walking by faith. I'm literally walking by sight, and I can see him, and I'll put my try, and my faith will be so much stronger. But Jesus disagrees with you. Because Christ's word is, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. He's talking about you and me. He says, blessed are you and me because we have not seen the resurrected Lord. We have not placed our fingers into the scar hands. If his hands are thrust our hand into his side, and, but we still believe. You believe what you hear from Jesus by listening to what you hear from your pastor. When your pastor stands before you and says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, it's as if Jesus Christ himself stands in front of you. It's not my power. The word does what it says. And your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is taken away. For all the times when you hesitate to be full on and to jump into the faith with all of your heart, soul, and strength, Jesus says, I forgive you. For all the times when you take your eyes off Jesus and you think to yourself, I'm going to do it my way. If it's going to be done right, I'm going to do it myself. Jesus says, I forgive you. And for all those times we are tempted to walk away from the faith by the way we live our lives, but still cling to him, Jesus says, I forgive you. You know, in the box stores, they have those poster places where you can kind of go and look at all the posters. Ordinarily, it's the new teen pop stars and those kind of things. I think they still have those, right? I remember the one of the cat hanging on the branch. He's hanging on the branch, just a kitten, man. He's hanging off all of his might. And the caption below is, hold on, baby, Friday's almost here. And as I look at the picture, my eyes are taken off of the cat, and I begin to look, what's he hanging on to? He's hanging on to a branch. And the branch is solid. The branch ain't going anywhere. And for you and I, we don't take our eyes off of Christ and the cross, but we put our faith in him and all the promises that he has made. This morning, there'll be 8 young men and women who will stand before this altar, confess their faith in Jesus. I'm going to remind them that God has made you so many promises. If you believe and are baptized, you'll be saved. And every one of them have been baptized. In fact, a few of them I baptized myself. If you confess him before him, he will confess you before his Father in heaven. And they're going to do that today. in the same way that you have. Difference, God has made you so many promises. The question is, do you believe? In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.